Good morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I appreciate it, the opening that you shared, Jamie. And I would like to sort of build off of what is up here on the board already. Before we do that, let's just bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this time together this morning. We thank you for your precious love, your tender mercies that are new again to us today. Thank you for looking favorably upon us and allowing us to gather in this way and to worship you and to learn of you, edifying one another. Just pray that you would be with us at this time. Be with me as I share these words that you've given to me. And pray that you would help us to grow in wisdom and in knowledge. Have your way in our midst, if we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I guess I'll write the title here first. Your body lives. Today we're going to talk about life. Now what I'd like to do with this here, Jamie talked about our date of birth, the day we die, and then here is the span of life from here to here. And what we do in this period of time really matters a lot, not only because of the testimony that he talked about that lives, continues to live on. Another thing that happens at this point is the body that we live in throughout this time right here, it ends up going down into the ground. It comes from the dust, goes back to the dust where it came from. Now there is a portion of us that also lives throughout this time that now spends eternity somewhere. So there's a number of things that happen based off of what happens in between the birth date and the date of death. And that's what we would like to talk about this morning. As we read through, I was reading through the book of John, and I noticed over and over again this theme coming through the things that Jesus talks about. And just time and time and time again, he talks about life. And he had a few discussions, and there was a few disagreements on the part of the Jews as they were discussing these things as we go through the book of John. We will look at a few of those. John 10, verse 9, I am the door. This is Jesus speaking. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it not just a little, but more abundantly. And so we're talking about true life. Jesus uses these words occasionally, true life. And I think it's an important thing for us to understand this life that Jesus is talking about, because after all, our eternal destiny really does depend on it. So the title here this morning, Your Body Lives, that is pretty obvious to anyone who can see and think. Like, it's pretty obvious all of you are alive and for the most part quite well, the way it looks to me. Just because you're sitting here and your body is alive and well, that does not mean that you, that in itself does not mean that you, everything is just fine. Everything is great and well. I believe that Jesus attempted to describe this by comparing the Pharisees. He was talking to the Pharisees, and he told them that they're just like whited sepulchers or tombs that outside they appear very beautiful, but within it's very, very different from what they appear to be on the outside. So they appear to be just fine by what people see. They're doing great, but within they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Matthew 23, verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." So, as we can see here, the outward appearance, by what I see in you and what you see in me, is not entirely an accurate indicator of what's going on inside, within us. And the reason why is because the outside can look just fine when the inside is, in fact, not just fine. However, if everything's good on the inside, then as we see what Jesus said here, the outside will also be clean. If the inside is clean, the outside will also be clean. But the outside can appear to be clean when the inside is in fact full of extortion and excess, if we use the words that Jesus said there. He said in verse 26, "Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, so that the outside of them may also be clean." And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about something that happened, it's maybe a year or two ago. Some of you may be familiar with this. There's a lot of fighting and things going on in the Middle East, and there was an incident in the country of Lebanon where these soldiers had these pagers, or the maybe kind of like a two-way radio or something that they were using, and the enemy had somehow they took these pagers before they were delivered to this army, and they inserted explosives inside the pagers. So the pagers looked perfectly fine. Brand new pagers, great, perfect, probably newest technology and everything. And they looked absolutely fine, great, perfect. Well, as they were using these pagers, all of a sudden one day, these pagers started exploding. And it wasn't just a tiny little explosion. These pagers were blowing off hands and things like that. And so I thought that was kind of an illustration of how the outside can look just perfectly fine and beautiful and normal and just like it should look, when in reality, within on the inside, there's destruction and death. And so for today, for what we're talking about today, I like to put it this way. The part of me that you see is, could you say, is sort of like a shell or a box that carries me around. The real me, which will exist throughout eternity, there is a part of us that will exist throughout eternity, and it is within this body that all of us, all of you can see, I can see you. Within all of you, there is something within you that is going to exist throughout all eternity. And so because of that, there are several options for me when it comes to relating to you. One is, I can be doing well within me, the part that is within me. I can be doing well, and the good things that you see coming out of me, whatever you see, they're authentic and they're real because of everything being fine within me. Another thing that I can do is that I can be full of corruption within. I can be doing not well within, but then in spite of that, I can create an appearance on the outside. What you see in me, I can create an outward appearance that looks and appears like everything is just fine, just sort of like those pagers. Everything is fine, when in reality, it's just kind of like a veneer or a painting, or it's kind of like painting a picture of me that is not actually true and real. And so, as we talk about life this morning, we are not so much talking about this right here as we are about this right here that exists throughout all eternity. And sometimes there's different words for what we're talking about here today. Sometimes it's called the inner man. Sometimes people call it the heart. Sometimes it's called the old man and the new man, or it can be called the soul. If we go back all the way back to creation, the human body apparently was created to live eternally, forever. But then after a time, as we read there in Genesis chapter 3, Satan shows up and he deceives the woman, and they end up in sin and their bodies start deteriorating, and then God removes them out of that garden so they're no longer able to go back to that tree of life. The wages of sin is death, as we see, as we read in Romans. The result of sin is everlasting destruction, and this is talking about that inner man that indeed exists throughout all eternity. However, we say when one sins, he dies. We say that when a person sins, he dies, but his heart is still beating. So how exactly is that? We also say that spiritually we are dead. Or what does that mean? What does that mean to say that spiritually you are dead? Or maybe alive, depending on the circumstances. When we talk about spiritually being alive or dead or whatever, it seems sometimes kind of distant or abstract and maybe disconnected from reality. Like, sure, yes, we talk about spiritually being this or that, but what does it really mean when we talk about the spiritual side of things? I believe that as sure as you have a physical body, so you also are a spiritual being. This is very much oversimplifying, but there is a spiritual part of us that exists within the physical part of us, and that also will exist throughout eternity. We can know this by what happens once we die, or more specifically, once our body dies, you could say. I think everyone would believe that once our body dies and is laid back into the dirt from where it came from, we are no longer there. we are no longer in that body that returns to the earth. We continue to exist. And so, the question that I would like to ask this morning, and I think it's an important one, and it will complete our title, that is, your body lives. Do you? So as we go through this, we'll be spending most of our time in the book of John, as I had mentioned. And right in the very beginning, one of the very first descriptions that we read about Jesus, we see the words, "He was life, and that life was the light of men." And so the word life comes up very early on in the book of John as we read about Jesus. Later on in the same book, Jesus is explaining to those who are listening and to us today how God the Father has life in Himself. And so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. And then Jesus also gives life to those who believe in Him, as we'll see later on. "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will." Over and over we see throughout the book of John the word life that is given to men, and usually it's talking about eternal life. You can turn with me if you'd like. We'll look at a few verses here where Jesus was talking to the Jews. You can turn to John chapter 8, and we'll read verse 52 and 53. And this is a discussion that Jesus was having with the Jews. They were discussing food and life and death and life that exists eternally, and the Jews seem to be somewhat confused and maybe somewhat trying to discredit him. But reading in verse 52, "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead. And thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself out to be?" Jesus was having this rather lively discussion with the Jews. If we would go back and read leading up to this, this discussion has been going on for some time. And they're talking about life, the life that Jesus was talking about. And it seems like the Jews at this point in their dealings with Him, they had a big problem with Him. The biggest one being that He didn't keep the Sabbath according to their standards because He healed a man. And after He healed this man, he told the man to take up his bed and to carry it home. And this was on the Sabbath, and it was not lawful for them to do such a thing. But probably the bigger problem that they had with Jesus at this time was that He claimed to be equal with God. And this was a big problem to them. And so it appears like they're almost in a panic, trying to do two different things. One of them is they tried to persuade the people that this man, Jesus, is actually not the Christ or the Messiah that is coming, is supposed to be coming. One of their arguments was that the scriptures say that the Christ would come from the seed of David, and He would also come out of the town of Bethlehem where David was. But this man came out of Galilee. And so they're trying to persuade everyone that no, this man is not the Christ. because the Christ will come out of Bethlehem, and he came out of Galilee. The other thing they appear to be trying to do is essentially to trap Jesus in an argument or in a discussion and find something that he says that is false. And then if they do this, they would be able to condemn him, essentially. And Jesus had just told them that if anyone keeps his words, as we would have read in a verse before this, if we would have read that, if anyone keeps his words, he shall never see death. And so they're taking this, and they're like, now we know that you have indeed a demon. Because what you said is definitely not true. Because Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead, and you say that if anyone keeps my words, you being supposedly equal with God, he shall never taste death. Well, the problem is, are you greater than our father Abraham? Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets, who do you make yourself out to be? Because Abraham, if anyone ever kept the words of God, it would have been Abraham. And Abraham was dead. And so here's this man who calls himself Jesus. He is increasingly capturing the attention of the people around him. And they finally caught, the Jews finally caught him in an apparent lie, or so they thought. Because he claims to be equal with God. He says those who keep his words will never die, but Abraham kept the words of God, and he is dead. And so this man, Jesus, must be lying, apparently. And if you can prove that a man is lying, it's much easier to persuade the people that he is a false teacher and to easily discredit this man. And so the debate that they're having here is, will you die or will you not? Jesus says, if you keep my words, or as he says in other places, if you believe on me, the answer is that no, you will not die. Jesus said that time and time again. The Jews say that Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? And so you see that depending on what a man does with the words, you say that depending on what a man does with the words you say and the things you do will determine whether or not they die, is basically what they're saying to Jesus. In their minds, if there was ever a man who, according to what Jesus was saying, should not have died, it would have been Abraham. But he is dead, according to them. Now, I believe that the reason why there's such a disagreement here between Jesus and the Jews is that they are, in fact, talking about two different things. You look at Abraham, sure. Abraham is dead. His body has been buried. But Jesus is not talking about the physical body. And we know if we read in Luke the story of the rich man and Lazarus, we can see that Abraham, in fact, is not dead. For when the rich man died, he ended up in hell. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus there with Abraham. So the point is that Abraham is not dead, as they were claiming. Okay, let's move on to another point here. Physical bread or true bread? There's something in the scriptures that has puzzled me for a long time, and that is when Jesus talks about the true bread, him being the bread and the water of life, and that we are to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. He also said that if you don't eat his flesh and you don't drink his blood, you have no life in you. This has puzzled me for a long time until I came to realize that when we talk about food, we talk about physical food for our physical bodies. But Jesus is, in fact, talking about a spiritual food. food, a spiritual life-giving substance for our spiritual being, not the physical body, but the inner man that is within us. The inner man that once this body of flesh disappears and only the eternal part of us remains, that is what he's talking about. Our bodies are indeed temporal. They will return to the earth. We will eternally exist, and it is that part of you and I that he is talking about. You can turn with me now to John chapter 6, and we'll read a rather lengthy passage of scripture here. We'll start reading in verse 26. But as we read through this passage of scripture, notice all the different times where Jesus is talking about food and bread and water, and he also talks about not laboring for those things that perish, the food that perishes, but that which endures to everlasting life. We'll start reading in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So here's part of the reason why he's talking about this life-giving food, this why he talks about food and bread and those things, is because just the day before, all these people had gathered around and he was teaching them. Well, this is where this young boy was there with those five loaves and two fishes, where that Jesus then used to feed the thousands of people. And then the following day, all these people came and they tried to find him. And when they finally found them, this is what Jesus is saying to them. "I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and you were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe you? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread of life, the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. But this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. We'll stop reading there. But here again, Jesus is having this discussion with the Jews, and then later on with his disciples afterwards, about bread, living bread, true bread that comes from heaven. He's talking again about food. The people were searching for Jesus because the day before he had fed thousands of people with the 5 loaves of bread and several fishes, like we had said earlier. Jesus was saying to them that it's not because of the miracles that they were seeking him, but rather because he had fed them and that they were filled. And so he took this opportunity to speak to them about eternal food and eternal life. Jesus then proceeds to tell them that rather than seeking after the food which perishes, like the loaves and the fishes, it's much more important to labor for that food that endures to everlasting life, meaning the bread which comes down from heaven, as he describes it, or himself. And this starts a rather lengthy discussion between him and the Jews about food and life and death. And they remind him that their fathers ate manna in the desert. They were talking about the children of Israel. This manna had come down from heaven, as they had pointed out, and they proceeded to challenge him. What can you do more than what happened there, where there was manna coming down from heaven and our fathers ate that manna? What sign can you do more than that so that we can believe in you? And Jesus essentially says that this is what is going to happen. Sure, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, but they are dead. Then he says, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So the point that I'm attempting to establish here today is that there is a physical part of us that we have, and we like to eat and take good care of it. But this physical mortal body will someday be put off, and yet you and I will continue to exist throughout all eternity. So what we eat with our mouth will change nothing concerning whether or not we have eternal life. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to establish, that sure, they ate that manna in the wilderness, but their bodies still died. But there's a part of you that will exist through eternity, and I am that which gives life to you. John 3, verse 36, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abides on him. John 5, 28, the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So the burden this morning is that, like we had mentioned earlier in passing about the cup and the platter, that we can spend every waking moment trying to polish up the outside of the platter, or what he is referring to, our beings. We can spend lots of time cleaning the outside of that cup, but that does not cleanse the inside of that cup or the platter. Cleanse first the inside, as Jesus said, so that the outside may also be clean. So also we can spend all our time perfecting the things that others see, such as our clothing and our actions and our attitudes. We can spend lots of time trying to perfect all those things, because that is, after all, what people see. But that in and of itself does not change the inside. But when the inner man is alive and well, that ends up changing what you see in me. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, or as we eat our potluck potatoes today and we will die. But he who eats this bread, meaning believing in Jesus to give life to the spiritual man within us, that man within us which cannot physically be touched, that man will live forever. The bread which Jesus gave was his body, and the water that he talks about was his blood. This he freely gave to all who believe, that he may give life to all who believe, even though they were dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus Christ is the only source of life for that which exists throughout eternity. He is also a sufficient source of life. And so the point that we're trying to establish today is that there is something that exists throughout eternity, from a part of us that exists throughout eternity, and it doesn't matter what we eat, it will not change anything of where that part of us will spend eternity. But Jesus is the only thing and food, life-giving thing that can change where that part of us exists throughout all eternity. God bless you.